I think it's always helpful to remind ourselves of the church's liturgical calendar. You know, it says that Advent goes until Christmas Eve, and that Christmas goes through the feast of the baptism of the Lord, which is tomorrow. So for all of you who have already taken down your Christmas decorations, you're a bunch of quitters. Don't quit early. Celebrate Christmas all the way to the baptism of the Lord. Now that I have that out of my system, let's talk about Jesus. Epiphany talks to us a lot about light. Elsewhere in the gospel, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." And the first letter of John says, "God is light." In that first reading today, the prophet Isaiah says, "Jerusalem, your light has come, and the nations shall walk by your light." Jesus is a light that shows us how to walk, how to live. Again, elsewhere in the gospel, when Jesus is presented in the temple as a child, Simeon proclaims him to be a light for the glory of Israel and a light for the revelation to the nations. Jesus, the light, brings glory to some and revelation to others. The glory for Israel is the fact that Jesus is the fulfillment of the promises that were made to Abraham, and really that were made even to Adam and Eve, right? That was his promise, that he would reverse the curse of Adam and Eve by dying on the cross and by rising to glory. Jesus brings that redemption and glory to Israel. But then, St. Paul, in our second reading today from Ephesians, tells us that the great grace of God, the great mystery of God, is this: that non-Israel, the nations, you and me, and he uses three big words here, are co-heirs, members of the same body, co-participants of those promises to Israel. Co-heirs and co-participants, those are powerful words. But here's the beautiful and also difficult part of this: members of the same body. I can be a co-heir with you without ever interacting with you. We can live on opposite sides of the country or the world and inherit something. We don't have to get along with each other. And we can even be co-participants in an event where we share with one another politely and professionally. But to be members of the same body with you, that means we're family. And that my good is intimately tied up with your good. If you're the foot and you're not doing well, then the whole body feels it. It's not easy to be a Christian, because it means that I'm connected, deeply connected, with every other member of the body of Christ. And while I can't live your life for you, sometimes it's difficult to remember that, my good is somehow deeply connected to your good. Desiring the good of the other, that's an essential part of the Christian life. But it's not easy. Let me pause for just a moment here to remind all of us that sin is simply twisted up good. You know, the good that God has created has a certain radiance built into it. And when sin warps it, there's still a shimmer of light in there that attracts our attention, because you and I, our souls, our minds have been darkened because of sin. So any glimmer of light out there, we tend to lunge for it. Even if it's a twisted up counterfeit. We lunge in lust, in greed, in envy, in pride, in anger. You know, because within that anger, there's a desire for justice that's just twisted up. And within that envy, there's a desire for equality there that's just twisted up. And within that lust, there's a desire for love there that's just twisted up. This divine light that was born on Christmas Day and manifested to the world today reveals the deeper desires of our own hearts to us. In the light that is Christ, we see what our hearts truly desire when they get untwisted. And with the gift of His Holy Spirit, we're strengthened to pursue that untwisted desire, not the easy counterfeits. We can both see and pursue good for our brothers and sisters, and not just use them for our own perceived good. In the gospel, the light which the Magi saw is described as belonging to Christ. They tell Herod, "We saw His star at its rising." But Herod's heart is so twisted up in envy that he desires to destroy the child in order to try to take his light for himself. We sinners, we think that we can be light without God, and it just never works. Lucifer was the light bearer, the most beautiful and radiant creature that God had ever made. But as soon as he rejected God, his whole being was plunged into darkness, where he lives to this day. We can never seize the light for ourselves. We can only do what the Magi do. We can delight at the sight of the light. They rejoiced to see the star. They rejoiced at the light that belongs to Christ. We can prostrate ourselves in homage to Christ, the light. And we can offer Him whatever gifts that we are able to bring. Herod was never glad at the light. From the beginning, he wanted to possess it as his own. We Christians, we need to rejoice and be glad at the light that is God. No matter where we encounter it, whether it's in the pest, the beggar, the co-worker, the family member, can we see the light that glimmers in them and rejoice to see it there? And then can we worship the God who is present even in that pest, beggar, co-worker, family member? And can we bring in the service of God our own gifts that can benefit the other? You know, maybe it's financial, gold. Maybe it's for the church, frankincense. Maybe it's for our fellow brothers and sisters, myrrh. Where will you encounter the light this week? Be ready for it. Where, with the help of the Holy Spirit, can you untwist the evil in our world to see the light glimmering through there? And where will you be light for others today? So here's the homework for the week. Follow the example of the Magi this week. Follow the light with joy. Worship the Lord in prayer. And use your gifts to benefit your brothers and sisters.